Welcome to Woof Shanti, where we like to help children learn to think well and live a mindful life. Today, I'm speaking with Harris Lender, who is the founder of Kidding Around Yoga, an amazing teacher training, offering many different certifications and programs, as well as Camp Kidding Around Yoga, a sleepover summer yoga camp for children. K, or Kidding Around Yoga, specializes in blending trainings for almost anyone who works with or has children. Hi, Harris. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you for asking. I would love to hear exactly what you guys do, what's going on, and how you're spreading the love of kids yoga everywhere.
Well, Woof Shanti is a yoga character me and my mom created. It's about a doggy, like, yoga master that teaches children how to think like a yogi, how to think positively, look on the bright side of life. We think that when children are young and be positive and live mindful, they're more hopeful to be happier when they grow up.
Even more so than thinking that, I know that. It's true. I always think if everybody got up every morning and practiced yoga, there would be no war. I've said that for a gazillion years.
A lot of people teach yoga classes, but how did you get into teaching yoga for kids?
I have four children because I got remarried, but I have two of my own daughters. And as soon as I got certified to teach regular yoga, I immediately started doing what parents do, especially Jewish mothers, running around and embarrassing my children. And anywhere they went, I had to be there. He's going, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I went to their Hebrew school. I taught fourth grade Hebrew school using yoga poses.
Really?
Yeah, that's how Yogi Yeladim got started. I went to my daughter, I was my daughter's brownie troop leader. We did yoga at Brownies. I went to their school, they went to Jewish sleepaway camp to get away from me. Guess who showed up to surprise them and teach yoga at camp? There's my mom. I'm supposed to be away from her. Everywhere they went, I was there teaching yoga. I love yoga. I love everything about yoga. I think everyone should do yoga all day, every day. I started teaching kids yoga. I didn't have certification or anything. I just started teaching it, and I invented fun and creative ways to bring yoga to children, because you can't teach adult yoga to kids. They're like, ew, this is boring. So we made it fun. That was, you know, the year 2000. That's when I started. About 6 years ago, when yoga started getting really popular, I noticed my adult classes went from like 15 people to like 3 people. It's like, what's going on here? Well, what was going on is everybody in my town is a yoga teacher now. Everybody. It's like Starbucks, yoga, every street corner. So I kind of put my blinders on and I said, all right, I'm going to focus on kids. I was already teaching lots and lots of kids, but I said, I'm good at this. I love this. It's fun. I'm kind of immature. I'm in my element. And in 2000, I did a training, and my first training, and I was in heaven. I thought, you know, I can't run around teaching 20. I was teaching 20 classes a week. We have an expression in Kidding Around Yoga. We say TYTO. Can you imagine what that stands for?
No.
Teach your tush off. I was teaching my tush off. And so then I did the training and 10 people came. And I felt so lucky and so blessed because I knew they were going to leave and they were going to go teach. So I didn't have to teach 200 kids every week because those 10 people were all going to go out. And you do the math, right? So like every weekend I was like, I got to train more people. So that's what happened. I just made a very long story longer, but I started getting into the training part and getting other people to share the gift of yoga with children.
Is yoga something that is best learned when a child is young or when they get older?
Well, I believe it starts, I'm happy to start in the womb, you know, because I know when I used to teach prenatal yoga, here's a great story. This is how early you should start. We always sang Om Shanti. We sang it, we ended with a chant called Om Shanti. I was visiting one of my prenatal students Her baby was 4 months old, and the baby wouldn't stop screaming, crying, and she was a wreck. She didn't know what to do. I picked the baby up. This baby was in her belly in my yoga class. And what did I sing to the baby?
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Guess what happened to the baby? And I'm not exaggerating, even one little iota.
She stopped crying.
Immediately. And I thought, this is powerful stuff. You know, it's not just the yoga and the stretching and the poses, as you know, because you're a yogi. It's the vibration, it's the chanting, it's the breathing. And when moms come to yoga class pregnant, they relax. And when moms relax and happy, the baby inside them is happy. So in answer to your question, I think you should start from the moment of conception. Oh, and then a weird thing about that is, and your mom will probably get this, and it's kind of sad. A lot of people don't practice yoga, and then they get pregnant, and they're like, oh, I'm going to go do yoga, because yoga's good for you. I think I'll do it now. And I'm like, should do it all the time. But I'm glad you're doing it now that you're pregnant, right? But it is very, very good for the baby, and I used to teach a lot of prenatal yoga. I loved it. And, you know, pregnant women like to blab, 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 chat, chat, chat. So they talked a lot. It was more of a, like a group, you know, like a bonding group.
Yeah. How much of yoga is physical and like how much is mental?
My answer to that would be it's very physical because I believe yoga is everything you do all day. So when I load my dishwasher, I'm practicing yoga. When I walk from the house, I'm in my office, which is in a shed in my backyard. We call it the shed quarters. I'm walking mindfully. I'm practicing mindfulness. And because I have had so much practice with asana, I don't trip and fall too much. I'm always thinking and looking and being mindful. Asana itself is a very tiny, tiny part. In my mind, not everybody will agree. In modern American yoga, Western yoga, it's all about, you can quote me, I don't care, getting a tight butt, getting sweaty and hot and becoming physically strong, which is beautiful. It's a great thing. What I like about yoga is the meditation, the breathing, the mindfulness, the ability to remember who I am. I mean, you know, when you go to a really good yoga class and the teacher does yoga nidra, you know, at the end, we call it the secret garden for children, but when you relax at the end, sometimes people cry because they forget who they are and they need that time, and children too. It's the same way for children. They need that time to just be quiet. We don't have a lot of quiet in our lives. So for me, and I'm very old-fashioned, I'm not your typical yogi. I have a house at an ashram. I have a guru who is no longer alive. He's not in the body, but I learned and studied with him. Yoga is about a way of life and a whole science for how you think.
Mm-hmm. I have a little sister, and she talks a lot.
Well, have you taught her how to meditate?
When we started with Shanti, we started making videos. Like, teaching kids how to do yoga poses in the videos. And this morning, I turned on the videos, and we went to YouTube and turned it on. And she started doing the yoga poses. And it was really cool.
Do you know, can I show you how we teach kids how to meditate? It's so simple.
Sure.
Peace begins with me. That's the biggest thing that we do to share with children, to just get them to sit for 1 minute. And meditate for 1 minute changes your life.
Do you teach lifestyle or spirituality as part of yoga for kids?
When we can, we do as much as we can. We have activities and games to teach healthy eating. Mm-hmm. We make pizzas because we never say don't eat meat, but we always say try to find something that grows on a tree because kids think that bacon grows on trees. So we make bread, we mix things up, you know, all these movements. We make challah, we have a challah pose. So healthy eating through movement, we do that. Spirituality is very touchy. You have to be very careful when you walk into certain schools. Obviously, if we go to an extremely Christian school, sometimes they won't even let us om or even say namaste, which is really hard for me. I'll drop the om, no problem. The funny thing is, you go in and you're like, okay, I can't say om, I can't say om. But then the kids come in, they watch TV, they know. They sit down and they go, om. And I'm like, okay, I'm not allowed to do it, but you're going to do it, right? You have to use your best judgment. Everywhere is different. And we spend a lot of time training our teachers to be sensitive, very sensitive to different cultures and different backgrounds. And like, I'm leaving tomorrow to go teach yoga to the Syrian children in Germany. They're Muslim. They've been through a lot. And as good as I think I am at this, I'm a little nervous.
One of Vishanti's main goals is to teach mindfulness to children. Like, one of our main mantras are like, think well to be well, smile and the world will smile with you. Is mindfulness something that kids around yoga incorporates as part of its teachings?
Absolutely. In fact, this year, because now it's like a big, you know, buzzword, a lot of people don't even know what it means. But like, you'll hear teachers and principals saying, oh, I just went to a workshop this weekend and looks like we need to be teaching mindfulness in the school. And I'm serious. Are you laughing at me? But there's just so many people who don't even know what it is, but they know they got to add it into their curriculum.
Yeah.
We already teach it. We've been teaching it forever, but now we follow an outline. There's a song, there's a game, there's partner yoga, there's meditation. But now we make sure mindfulness is a bigger chunk. We do things like a walking meditation, you know, when you walk very slowly, but to make it fun for the kids, we get like a plastic magnifying glass. So they're like, you know, walking really slowly and looking around, and then we bring them back and we say, what did you notice that you never saw before? You know, the tingshas, the Tibetan bells?
Yeah.
We do that. We pass them around the circle, and then the kids are like, they are very focused. We have many things that we do like that. To practice mindfulness with the kids. It's a huge part of what we do. And what we're really into is, there's an expression in the yoga world, off the mat, not just to do it in class with your teacher, but to go home and say, hey, mom, I'm going to load the dishwasher tonight for you mindfully. I bet your mom says things like that to you all the time. Yep, it's a big, big part of what we do.
Why do you think it's important to teach mindfulness to children?
I think on a very practical level, you're going to laugh when you hear this. I think when you learn how to be mindful, first of all, you're calmer and happier all day. I'm into organization. I like to be organized.
Yeah.
My husband spends half of his day looking for things. Honey, did you see my glasses? Honey, did you see my wallet? Honey, did you see my keys? And every day I say, why don't you mindfully place them on this shelf every day so they're always there? So that's another whole story we won't get into, but that's a lot of wasted time. And so on a practical level, when you do practice mindfulness, my guru, Swami Satchidananda, always used to say, everything has its place and everything in its place. Now, I know every mother in the world wants their kids to have their toys in a box, to have their shoes here, to... The first thing we say, the very first thing when you walk into a Kidding Around Yoga class, the first word that comes out of the teacher's mouth every time, all over the world, is mindfully place your shoes over here. First word. We take a old yoga mat and we let the kids draw their feet all over it. We decorate it. We call it a shmat. It sounds Yiddish, but it's not. Shoe mat. The kids come in and they have to put their shoes there. So the first thing they hear when they walk into class is, I have to be mindful. And so we're very, very into it. One of my teachers is in a wheelchair. And literally this has happened. And he comes to my camp. We have a camp in Florida. he can't wheel himself into the room where the kids are if the kids throw their shoes everywhere. So they've learned a hard lesson. Oh, Sam can't get into the room because we weren't mindful. Let me go move my shoes. That's an example. When you take a test, you know, you have to practice mindfulness. You have to keep your desk organized. You have to think about your studies and what you did to prepare for that test. To me, and I learned this from a Buddhist master, Thich Nhat Hanh, a very famous Buddhist teacher, every step, everything you do is a practice in mindfulness. So I don't know how to separate it from anything. Now, I'm not saying I'm the most mindful person in the world. You teach what you need to learn. You know, I'm just like you and your mom and everybody, always learning. But when you do practice your mindfulness every day, you notice that your life it just rolls better.
Do your teachings have a better chance of success if the parents also participate in yoga?
Oh, yeah. Many parents just want to write a check out and have this an aftercare program, after school activity for their kids so they can stay at work longer or go get a manicure, whatever. Sometimes the nanny's picking them up. Parents aren't even there. So they're not involved, and they don't even know what we're doing. And that makes me sad. So we also like to offer family. We do a lot of family yoga classes. Even if it's just once every few months, come to class so you can see what we do. I think sometimes parents email me. They're like, I walked by David's bedroom and he was doing this with his fingers. What's that? Well, I want them to know. And I want them to do it. I want it to be, you know, family-based activities to keep peace in the household.
Aside from health, what positive impacts does yoga have on a young person's social life and school life?
Learning compassion for other people, learning how to calm themselves, how to regulate their feelings, how to be sensitive to other people's needs, because yogis are kind. There's a yoga word, it's Sanskrit, and it's ahimsa, non-harming. So one of the greatest parts of yoga is practicing ahimsa, non-harming in thought, action, and deed. So not harming people physically or with your thoughts or verbally. And when you practice yoga, the physical part, like I said before, is such a small part of it. Mm-hmm. A real yogi doesn't harm other people in thought, action, or deed. So if children are exposed to the whole science of yoga, not just the poses are a very small part of it. It affects every aspect of their life, not just making them healthier, but making your mind healthy. And as I'm sure you know, all those poses were invented by meditating yogis just so they could relax their body to sit and meditate. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Yoga was invented, yoga poses.
Yeah.
Hatha yoga was only invented because the yogis saw, the way we tell the story is, oi, my back. I've been sitting here for 3 hours meditating. Oi, my back. Look at the dog over there. He looks like he's stretching his back up and down. Look at the cow. Look at the cat. Look at the cobra. And that's really what happened. The yogis were trying to meditate, and the only way they could sit for that long was to stretch and move their body like animals. Mm-hmm. It's the only reason we do the asana is so we can sit and meditate. It's all about the meditation.
Thank you so much. It was great speaking with you today.
You're welcome. This was a great opportunity for me. Thank you. I appreciate you thinking of me.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Om Shanti. Woof woof.
Bye.
Bye.
Woof Shanti. Woof Namaste. Think well to be well today. Woof Shanti.